Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see you here today. A special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today. It's good to have you here. And also those joining us via live stream, it's good to have you joining us as well. So would you receive this call to worship this morning? To the fishermen, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for men." To the tax collector, Jesus said, "Come, follow me." To the rich young ruler, Jesus said, "Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." To the crowds and his disciples, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Today, Jesus says to you and to me and to everyone, come and follow me. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do thank you for sending your son Jesus, that he was willing to come to this earth to lay aside all of the rights that he had and to lay down his life so that we can have the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life. So I pray that as we worship you today through songs and hearing your word, that you would speak to our hearts and continue changing us and transforming us into who you desire for us to be as individuals and also as a body here at Bowmansville. So we ask for your blessing upon our time together in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Would you join in worshiping the King?
All right, I would invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Thank you.
This morning's offering is for the Bishop Support Fund.
Upon all the good you have done for us. And Father, we thank you for your wisdom, your guidance, and your protection. But Father, today I also want to take this opportunity, as today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, where too many young lives have been stopped before they ever got a chance to start. Father, we know that you weep for these lives. We don't know why you allow it, but we certainly know that it's because of sin and selfishness in this world that it's here. Father, we pray for one day for that to no longer be the case, that every human life will be cherished. Father, we thank you, though, that for all that are here today, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. So, Father, we just return a portion of what you've given us back to you for your work, the work of the bishop, the work of the church. And Father, today as we wish to focus our hearts and our minds on you, may we seek you with open arms and receive what you have for us. Be with Pastor Larry as he shares with us today and reminds us that it's your way and not our way. And we thank you for all of this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, and again, welcome to everyone this morning. It's good to see you here today as we gathered to worship the one true and living God. Just want to give you an update on Richard Good. Richard Good is doing okay. He received an infusion and seems to be doing pretty well. Irene is doing well also, so they're being blessed by God with healing. So continue to pray for healing for Richard. Also want to let you know that Catherine Martin has passed away. There's a note in your bulletin. She passed away Friday, so the family's going to be having a private graveside service at their convenience. So I just want to pause, have a word of prayer, pray for Richard and Irene and also for Catherine's family. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you that you are so good to us. We thank you for the healing that has taken place with Richard and pray that healing would continue. We ask, Father God, you would surround Richard and Irene with your presence. May they sense your presence and your peace with them during this time. We also want to lift up Catherine's family as they mourn the loss of their mother, grandmother. Just ask, Father God, for your comfort and peace to surround them as well. May they experience your presence in a very, very powerful and a very real way. We thank you that you can be trusted, you're faithful, and you do what you tell us you will do. So we ask that you would just bless our time together here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this morning I want to begin by telling you a story that has absolutely nothing to do with a message. So maybe you'll make a connection. If you do, let me know. I'd be interested to hear about it. But I want to tell you this story that happened to me while I was on sabbatical. When I was on sabbatical, I volunteered through the month of October every Monday and Wednesday when Sandy works at the Reuse It shop in Ephrata. So when she was working, I was volunteering. So part of what I was supposed to be doing when I was volunteering was to be putting artificial Christmas trees together. They had a whole bunch of them stacked up there that people had donated. So I had to put them together, make sure all the pieces were there, make sure if the lights were on them, to make sure all the lights all worked, so they looked nice to be set out on the floor to be sold. So I was going through this one box, and in the bottom of the box, I found a big, fat, blue rubber band. Now, what do you do with a rubber band? That's right. You shoot it. Well, I didn't know anybody there. So I was looking around for someone to shoot this rubber band at, and lo and behold, Sandy walked in. And so she was busy doing something, and she didn't know I had this rubber band, and so I snapped it at her. And when I did that, there was this a lady that was volunteering that she came scurrying around the table, and she went right over to Sandy and said, "Do you know this man?" So Sandy explained to her that I'm her husband, and so everything was okay. But in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, what would have happened if Sandy would have said, "No, I don't know this guy." Or she would have came to me and talked to me. Anyway, I don't know. But I thought that was interesting, to say the least. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the message this morning. And today we're going to be continuing exploring some of the challenging, radical, do we really have to follow teachings of Jesus? So, do we really have to follow Jesus' teachings? No. You have a choice. You always have a choice. But if you're looking for peace, he's the Prince of Peace. If you're looking for green pastures and still waters, he's the Good Shepherd. Who will give you purpose, give you meaning in life, give you guidance and direction, if that's what you're looking for? Billy Graham used to say, "Salvation is free, but following Jesus will cost you everything." Now, you probably heard about the conversation between the chicken and the pig. And just to refresh your memory, the chicken says to the pig, "We should open up a restaurant." So the pig says, what will we name the restaurant? "What if we call it Ham and Eggs?" Well, the pig doesn't appreciate that idea for obvious reasons, so replies, "No thanks. I'd be committed by supplying the ham. You'd only be involved by supplying the eggs." So the chicken counters and says, "What if I'm committed as well?" Well, the pig says, "I don't see how that could be." So the chicken explains, "We could open a place called Wings and Ribs." And the pig enthusiastically answers, "With both of us committed, I'm in." We need to realize that the cost of following Jesus is like the wings and the ribs conversation between the chicken and the pig, where both are sacrificing their lives and are totally committed. So I asked the question this morning, are you committed to Jesus or are you only involved with Jesus? To be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, means I am totally sold out. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to supernaturally transform me from the inside out, transforming me into the image of Almighty God. It means I'm also committed to the mission of Jesus. Being committed to Jesus is so much more than a decision of the mind. It may begin in your mind, but it is a continual growing process of living a life of trusting God, a life of obeying God, a life of allowing God to transform your heart. Which brings us to the message this morning, which is entitled, Deny Yourself and Follow Me. Our text this morning is from Mark 8. I'm going to be reading verses 31 to 38. This is also recorded in Matthew 16, 21 to 28, and Luke 9, 21 to 27. But for our purposes here this morning, I'm going to be reading from Mark 8, verses 31 to 38. This is right after Jesus has asked the disciples who the people were saying that he was. And then Jesus turned and asked a question to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. So I'm going to begin reading at verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So Peter was not considering God's purposes and plans, but only his own natural human desires and his feelings. So we need to be careful that we don't allow our feelings to control our thinking, because oftentimes our feelings will lead us astray. Peter wanted Jesus to be king, but not the suffering servant prophesied about in Isaiah 53. He was ready to receive the glory of following the Messiah, but not the persecution. So we're going to talk a bit about persecution on February the 7th, when the title of the message that morning is going to be Expect to be Hated by the World. Because that's what Jesus said will happen. We need to understand that the Christian life is not a paved road to wealth and a life of ease and comfort. On the contrary, it involves a life of discipline and self-control. The disciples didn't understand that Jesus' mission from God was to die on the cross and be resurrected back to life 3 days later. So picking up in verse 34, Jesus called the crowd and his disciples together and begins this challenging and radical teaching about denying self in order to follow him. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, the first thing that jumps out at me in this verse is the word anyone. If anyone means exactly what it says. The invitation, excuse me, to follow Jesus is open to anyone. There's no one who is too good, and there's no one who is too bad to follow Jesus. Anyone can choose to follow Jesus. But then Jesus cuts to the chase, if you will, and he gets to the heart of the matter. The NIV says he must deny himself. The Living Bible says you must put aside your pleasures. Jesus wants us here today to clearly understand that following him requires everything we've got. It's a call to total surrender. The word must is used both in the NIV and the Living Bible translations. So, we cannot follow Jesus if we don't deny ourselves. Jesus said, this is what we must do. Now, if you travel south on 625, right before you go under the underpass where the turnpike is, you will notice a billboard that is on the turnpike. This is what it says. I only noticed this the other day. It's probably been there for months. But it says, get over your selfie. Send it later. It's referring to texting while you're driving. But get over yourself. Jesus is saying, get over your selfish nature. He says, anyone who wants to follow him must reject the natural human inclination toward selfishness. Self-denial for a follower of Jesus means renouncing yourself as the center of existence and then replacing that with the recognition that Jesus is now my true center. From the moment of our new birth, the moment we are born again, self-denial becomes a daily exercise. With the Holy Spirit now dwelling in our hearts, we are thrust into a conflict between the divine Spirit of God and our carnal or natural self. Paul describes this ongoing struggle in Romans chapter 7. It is only by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can learn to deny self. Paul says this in Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Through daily self-denial and crucifying of the flesh, our life in Christ grows and develops as we are transformed from the inside out. Jesus goes on to say, after stating that his followers must deny themselves, to say his followers must take up their cross and follow him. Now the Romans, who were Mark's original audience, knew exactly what taking up the cross meant. Death on a cross was a form of execution used by Rome for dangerous criminals. And a criminal carried his own cross to the place of execution. That was to signify submission to Rome's power. Jesus used this image of carrying a cross to illustrate the ultimate submission required of his followers. Now, Jesus is not against pleasure, nor is he saying that we should seek pain needlessly. Jesus is talking about the intentional effort needed to follow him moment by moment and the commitment to do his will even when it is difficult and the future may look bleak. Then in verse 35, we read this. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. We need to be willing to lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. Not because our lives are useless, but because nothing, not even life itself, can compare to what we gain with Jesus. Jesus wants us to choose to follow him rather than to lead a life of sin and self-satisfaction. He wants us to stop trying to control our own destiny and let him direct our lives. This makes sense if we believe that he is our creator, because as our creator, he knows what is best for us and what real life is all about. So Jesus is asking for total submission, not self-hatred. Jesus says we must lose our self-centered determination to be in charge. So please allow me to ask a question this morning. Are you trying to hold on to your life? Jesus says that if you're holding on to all the things that the world thinks of as life, then we're going to lose our life. Why? Because if we're unwilling to let go of those things in order to embrace Jesus, you see, you can't do both. You can't do both. You can't live for all this world has to offer and also live for Jesus. You can't seek first what the world offers and also seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You can't live as if this life is all there is and then gain entry into the next life. The Bible says that it is impossible to serve two masters. You see, there's no fence sitting when it comes to following Jesus. You're either for him or you're against him. Someone said there's only two kinds of people. There's saints and there's ain'ts. Either you're a saint or you ain't. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Losing your life for Jesus means denying yourself and relinquishing the things that you could legitimately claim and hold on to. Things that the world around us considers to be the essence of life. One of the big things that I, and maybe some of you, struggle with is this thing in life that we call time. Ben Franklin wrote in his Poor Richard's Almanac, "Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff that life is made of." Ben's correct. Time is life. How do you view your time? Now, I've already heard these words come out of my mouth. This is my time to use however I want to use it. Saturday is my day. I work hard all week. And when it comes to Saturday, it's my day. I deserve some me time, right? Well, let me tell you a story. A story that happened a number of years ago. This happened on a Saturday afternoon. You see, I was in my man cave, and I was watching a ball game. And my phone rings. Wonder who that is. Happened to be a man that I've been mentoring for a number of years. He told me later on that many times he came to my house and we sat down and cracked open the Bible and we talked about the scriptures. He told me later on that he left my house many times and he was angry. He was angry because of what I told him. I was telling him the truth. But he kept coming back. I mean, so there must have been something there that he was learning. Anyway, the phone rings, and it's this man. He's on the other end of the phone. He's in distress, in crisis. He's moving. Him and his wife are trying to load the truck. And they're fighting. It's not going well at all. So I frantically try to think, who could I call? Who could I call to send? Say, hey, could you go over and help? I exhausted everything in my mind. Got the church directory. Got to be somebody in there, right? And then I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, you need to go. But I don't want to go. It's my time. It's got to be somebody else. Well, I went reluctantly, probably with a bad attitude. Well, yeah, I did go with a bad attitude. Not probably. But I got there. Things went very well. We got the truck loaded. And he looked at me and he said, Larry, you're God. I said, now wait a minute. I'm not God. I'm just one of his followers. But for me, many times, Saturday is my day. I do go into my man cave. I do like to watch ball games. And that's what I need to work at. So when I share this message with you this morning, it's like I'm speaking to this mirror in front of me because I need to hear all this stuff as well. And please understand that I have not totally overcome all my selfishness concerning my time and other areas of my life. But with God's help, I am being changed and transformed. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Part of denying ourselves, part of losing our lives, means giving up our rights to do with our gifts, to do with our abilities, to do with our possessions, to do with our time as we desire. It means offering them to God with an open hand. so he can use them as he sees fit to build his kingdom. And finally, in verse 38, we read, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Jesus constantly turns the world's perspective upside down with his words of first and last, saving and losing. Here he gives us a choice. We can reject Jesus and then be rejected by him at his second coming, or we can accept him now and be accepted by him then. Rejecting Jesus may help us escape shame for the time being, but will guarantee an eternity of shame. So Jesus says to us this morning, deny yourself and wholeheartedly follow me. So I asked you the question this morning. I ask myself, what changes do you need to make in order to deny yourself and wholeheartedly follow Jesus? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your word. Even though it's challenging and it's radical and it goes totally against what the world would tell us and teach us and have us believe, I ask, Father God, that your Spirit would give us the ability to focus upon you, that we'd be willing to lay down our selfishness and totally surrender and give our all to you so that you can use us to build your kingdom, because that is only what will last. So I thank you for everyone here this morning. Ask for your blessing upon them, and may we be able to totally surrender our lives to you. Help us, Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I invite the worship team to come lead us in the song, closing song.
Fellowship, what do we have? excited about next weekend. We got some men going to the cabin for a men's retreat. And so I'm here to just a few pointers to point out. For the congregation, though, for those prayer warriors out there, you could pray for us for safety as we travel from here to Juniata County and back again on Sunday. Pray for health as we're up there, and pray that we'll have open hearts and open ears to hearing what God has to say to us that weekend as we go up there. At this point, I have confirmed there's 21 men signed up. There is room, but that's up to use. There's plenty of beds. There's 13 bedrooms, 7 baths, so we got lots of room. So we should be able to not be sleeping on top of each other or anything like that. We've got lots of activities. We're right next to state game lands, so there'll be hiking. We can play quoits, croquet. This volleyball court, I don't know what the shape the net's in, so we'll have to take that. Shuffleboard, ping pong inside, pool table, cornhole, card games. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time to get away. The big thing is Friday night getting up there. I've heard some that already have planned to get together and drive together up there. I have that if anybody wants to meet here at the church at 6 o'clock, we don't all have to drive separate up to the cabin. But what I'd like to hear from everybody, maybe I'll send a text out, is those that are going to meet here, if they'd let me know so that we don't take off thinking that the rest have left already. If yous are going to head up yourselves, I'm okay with that. There was a couple of men that had mentioned about going maybe up a little bit earlier. I know, I think our cook might be taking off a little bit earlier to get up there. So if anybody does want to get off early, let me know. I do have the keys for the cabin. I'd like to give it to the person that's going to be there first, so they're not up there waiting to get in. So if we could just all be... that's the big thing Friday night. We're going to be looking at a video series from Philippians on contentment, waiting, and never being satisfied. That was what was given to me. So just a few things. If you need anything, any questions on it, get in touch with me, and we'll try to get everybody squared away that we're all going the same direction Friday evening. Look forward to it. Thank you. Well, by the way, Larry, on that rubber band, I correlated a couple things. First of all, we have to be willing to be stretched. Then we have to let him stretch us, and then he may send us.
That's good, Glenn. Thank you. Well, just I want to remind you, there's a note in your bulletin about the name change for our district. Just so you're all aware of that, we used to be called the Bowmansville Redding District. I mean, that's all I've known for all the years I've been going to church. Now it's been changed, and we're now the Valley Mountain PA East District. So if you hear that name, you know what they're talking about, okay? And there should be a newsletter in your mailbox that talks about the name change and how that all came about. So you can read that to find out those details. So thank you for your attention this morning. Would you please stand for this benediction from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.